Another first day of the week. It's so good to see each one of you as we come here together to worship God in spirit and in truth. You know, we have a society which does many things on Sunday with the exception of serving God, but you have chosen to come and serve God, and I'm grateful that you're here this morning. I want you to turn to the book of Hosea in the Old Testament. We've got a lot to cover this morning. Hosea in the Old Testament, one under the prophets. And we're going to see from this section of Scripture, hopefully starting with this, a lesson that you and I can learn from. Now, I'm going to be using the New King James Version, so it might read a little differently than some of your other versions. But in Hosea, hopefully there, Hosea chapter 11, in Hosea chapter 11, as Hosea looks at God's people, by inspiration, he states, verse 11, or 7, "My people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him." Think about that for a moment. What a sad statement that is. Now, he's not talking about those who weren't serving God. He's not talking about the pagan. He's talking about Israel here. And what he tells them, he said, they are bent, they are determined to backslide. So that being said, the lesson this morning, we're going to talk about backsliding. Backsliding is not a new topic. It's a topic that's always existed with God's people. Let's go to the New Testament and look at some examples there where we would consider they had backslidden from serving their God. Let's begin by going to the book of Galatians in the New Testament, in Galatians and chapter 5. We have recorded for us here in Galatians chapter 5. Remember, there were those kind of Judaizers trying to get them to go back to the law. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, we have recorded for us here, he states, Paul to the Galatians, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Now he's again talking to Christians. What's happening? They're trying to once again incorporate the old with the new. And he says, now if you do that, that's a problem. Who's caused you to do this? They are on the wrong path, those who had obeyed the gospel. Again, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy and 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, we have recorded for us here one that's well known to us, and that's the man Demas. And we have recorded for us here in verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now you can go to another passage where Demas was serving God. But now we have recorded in Scripture forevermore, Demas had forsaken me. Why? Because of his love for this present world. Again, one more illustration before we go into our lesson this morning. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 20 and 21. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 20 and 21. We have recorded for us in this occasion, beginning in verse 20, "For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbiting, whisperings, conceits, tumults. Lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you and shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of their uncleanness, their fornication, their lewdness, which they have practiced." Again, I ask this question. Who is he speaking of here? He's speaking of those who had obeyed the gospel of Christ. They had went back in a different direction. So there's no misunderstanding. Backsliding is something that does happen. And the problem still exists today. People who had obeyed the gospel and then turn away from our precious Lord. Now, before we go into the lesson, let me begin by this. I do not believe, as I stand before you this morning, I do not believe someone who becomes a child of God in the New Testament, a Christian, I don't believe they intend to turn away from God, do you? I believe when they become a child of God, They are determined to serve God when they first obey the gospel and as they start their journey as a Christian. I think you would agree with me on that. No one becomes a Christian intending to turn away from Christ. But nevertheless, stop and think for a moment. Do you know of people today who are not serving Christ who once did? I imagine if I took a survey of the audience, all of us know of people who at one time served Christ, and this very hour, they're not serving Christ. They have backslidden. They have gone the wrong direction. And oftentimes, it's people we don't think would ever do that. It's sad when I go back to congregations in years gone by where I've preached to hear some of those people who I thought were solid and sound Christians still alive, but not serving Christ. So what I'm suggesting is backsliding, turning away from God, is not something that we have determined to do. It's something that comes upon us because we don't consider the warning signs. The warning signs that might indicate to us that we're going in the wrong direction. I want to say this. It's good to see you here this morning. Many of you are members of this congregation. If we could turn forward the hands of time a year from now, will we still be faithful? Absolutely. I hope so. But if we're going to still be faithful, there's some indications we have to pay attention to. Because, like I said, I don't think people intended to backslide. But nevertheless, it does happen. So let's consider some warning signs that might indicate perhaps we're going in the wrong direction. The first warning sign is lacking in communication with God. That's prayer. Now we're going to study in much greater detail that topic tonight, so I'm only going to go to one passage as we talk about that. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And when I talk about lacking in communication with God, I'm suggesting that we don't take the time or we have not developed a vibrant prayer life. As Christians, we have the privilege to pray, and when we come together, we pray, and rightfully we should. And often, and hopefully at all times, when we eat a meal, we pray. But do we really see the importance of prayer? Do we make use of it? Because now, as he speaks about the spiritual armor in Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God, if you drop down to verse 18, looking at verse 18, of Ephesians chapter 6, one of the pieces involves praying. There it states, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now again, I'm going to go in much greater detail on prayer this evening, but look at the beginning, praying always with all prayer and supplication. That's not talking about thinking about praying. That's not talking about an attitude of prayer. That's talking about praying. Look at yourself this morning. How's your prayer life? Is it what it should be? Now, oftentimes we intend to pray, but it kind of slips up on us, does it not? Prayer is very important in the life of a Christian, but we'll go on since I'm going to deal with that later. Another thing that we need to be careful of, and as an indicator that perhaps we're going down the wrong path leading to backsliding, would be lacking growth. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. We find recorded for us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5 the warning, actually the exhortation of the Hebrew writer to those who had not grown. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, that you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of the milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now back to verse 12. Go back there. They should have moved forward. But what happened? They didn't. Now why is that so important, you ask? Why is that so important that we grow spiritually? Look at verse 14. Verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their exercise, our senses exercised to discern good and evil. When we don't grow spiritually, when we don't grow in the knowledge of God's will, our senses are not exercised to do that which is right or wrong because we don't know God's right or wrong. And we end up doing things we shouldn't be doing, which leads to more problems. Now, who's got the fault there? We do, because we're not growing like we should. We have no excuse in America not to grow in the knowledge of God's word. Because you know what? If you can't afford a Bible, I'm going to speak in behalf of the elders here. I hope they don't mind. We'll give you a Bible. Bibles are so easy to come by. And if you have a phone, you can probably get an app that gives you a free Bible. So the Bible is so readily available to us. But what I have learned when I started preaching in the 70s, I think people back in the 70s had a little bit more knowledge than they do in 2022. And I don't think they were smarter in the 70s. I think they weren't preoccupied with as many things as we are in 2022. And that's sad. Again, God's people were at one time spoken of as walking Bible encyclopedias. Can that be said today? That takes study. That takes, now, I saw as I was looking through some of your books, and I think it's the same, man, but I had heard a meeting. We had Wayne Sullivan years ago, and I believe the same Wayne Sullivan, the guy was a walking Bible encyclopedia. And I asked him, I said, well, the reason you can do that, Wayne, is because you got a photogenic memory. I'm not blessed with that. He said, no. You know what it is? Repetition. Going back to God's word and feeding upon it. Now, before I move on, when we talk about study, do not tell me, well, you don't understand, Chuck, I can't. You know what's interesting? We can do things we want to do. Parents and grandparents, do you remember your children and grandchildren? Do you remember their birthdays? Do you remember different events? No one has to force you. You remember that because they're important to you, correct? Those of us that like sports, we won't mention specific teams. Those of you who like sports, do you remember the statistics of your team? Who's good? What their record is? What they've done? What I'm trying to tell you, you remember what's important to you. As Christians, we need to always make this important to us, and we need to grow, no matter what age we are. Now, what I find out what I'm doing now is trying to get back what I've already known. The cobwebs set in. I have to go back and kind of get those cobwebs kicked out to make sure I know what I had already previously learned. Another thing that might indicate to you or indicate to me that I'm on the path to backsliding is inconsistent in our participation. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 24 and 25. In Hebrews 10 verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up to love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, it's interesting in the Hebrew letter on the not forsaking the assembling. I think sometimes people don't get the gravity of this, because you can also study in Hebrews where they had gone through a great persecution, if you go down to verse 32 to verse 36. And it's my understanding what's happening, some were forsaking because of this persecution, perhaps. And they're told, even in this circumstance, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Now, I know we have technology, and I know perhaps there might be some watching from the streaming that we do, and I'm not against that you're doing that, but if you could have been here, if you could have been here, and you're not, you've missed out. There's nothing better than Christians coming together to sing, pray, study, worship, and partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, as revealed. You can't deny how important that is. But let's go to another example. Sometimes we fall away because of the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Look at what he says. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you become hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, can that happen to you? Can that happen to me? I've known it happening to preachers. Sad but true, I've known it happening to elders sometimes. Doesn't matter who you are. Been hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Why? Because we play with sin. We get ever so close to sin. Now, again, really, that's a whole sermon because I'd have to define sin. Because people, we don't talk about sin anymore. Sin means to miss God's mark. And God's mark is given to us right here in the Bible. And when we don't follow God's mark, it goes back to lack of knowledge. And Hebrews chapter 5, we weren't able to discern with our senses what's right or wrong because we haven't gone to God's word to teach what's right or wrong. Is that not so? So we get closer to sin, and before you know it, it grabs us. And then we can have a whole lesson on that going back to James. It starts from within the heart. You remember when Jesus, in what is known as the Sermon on the Mount, talks about that if you lust after a woman, you've committed adultery with her. It's not that literal adultery has been committed. It's that it's now in your heart. And if it's in your heart, all you're waiting for is the action to do it. Right? When it starts in the heart, then it's going to lead to the action. So we've got to be careful. If we're careless with this sin, we might get caught up and depart from the precious serving of God. Sometimes wrong associations. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. You know, I've added some more things as time went on. And 1 Corinthians 15, 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And we teach this to the young people, do we not? And it's good to teach this to the young people. But do you see the word young people there? Anybody see in that Bible, young people? What I'm trying to say is, evil company, whether you're young or old, can change your ways. Be careful who you associate with. That doesn't mean you're thinking you're better than somebody. That just means you're not putting yourself in a circumstance that would lead you astray. Remember, years ago, we had a young sister, teenage girl, so zealous for the Lord. She obeyed the gospel of Christ. She was on fire for the Lord, and she got hooked up at school with a group of people that were smoking pot. And her mom would try to talk to her. I tried to talk to her. The other preacher tried to talk to her. And she was so zealous. She said, don't worry about me because I'm going to teach them and they're going to come out from doing that and they're going to serve God and have the excitement I have. Anybody want to guess how that story ended? You're right. You guessed right. She got caught up in it. She turned away from the Lord. She turned away from her family. And I lost contact with them because I moved away. I don't know if she ever came back to do that, which is right. She had good intentions, but she got mixed up in the wrong crowd, didn't she? That doesn't mean she couldn't teach them. She just shouldn't have been a part of that crowd. Now, let me add you one more thing. You say, well, I don't do that. That don't apply to me. I don't have to worry about wrong associations. Probably most of us in this audience have a computer. And many of us, if not most of us, go onto the internet. Could your associations be in the wrong sources you go to in the internet? Think about that. I'll hear people say, and I'll hear brothers say, I'm not hurting anybody what I look at on the internet. Oh, yes, you are. You're hurting yourself, first of all. You're deceiving yourself. Be careful. Be careful who you keep company with. By the way, am I against the internet? No, I don't understand a lot of it, but I'm not against it. But you got to be careful with it because people get caught up in things they shouldn't based upon looking on that computer screen, thinking nobody knows. First of all, God knows. Second of all, it's affecting your heart. Third of all, it'll affect your life if you're going to the wrong sources. And I'm not going to give you illustration, but I'll give you a handful of illustrations where that happened. One more warning sign for us. We become spiritually choked. Are you becoming spiritually choked? Again, this is warning signs. If I'm caught up in some of these things, is that leading me down the wrong path? We find in Luke chapter 8, turn with me if you will to Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. On the parable of the sower, the third ground, listen to what it says. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. Do you think God's happy with that group of people? No. What happened? We became choked by the cares, riches, and pleasure. I'll give you a story many years ago when I preached in Lake City, Florida. I wanted to be the best parent. I wanted to be the best preacher. I wanted to be the best person in the community I lived in. So we went to the school, and they gave a little list who would volunteer. And I signed up to volunteer, not knowing what I was volunteering for. And I was put on one of the education boards for the school. Then, oh, good, that's no problem. Then I saw how much time it took. They wanted meetings continuously. And then when you proposed an idea, you couldn't just propose it verbally. You had to write it out. And then you had to discuss it. And all of a sudden, between that and trying to be a family man, now being a part of that board was not wrong, but I had too many irons in the fire. What I'm trying to suggest, sometimes, brethren, you got too many irons in the fire. And they don't have to be wrong. I want to be the best parent for my kids. Good, we all did. But you can't do everything. And they can't do everything. I want to be the best husband. Good. What I'm trying to say is you've got to be wise. You only have a limited amount of time. And if you stretch yourself thin, guess what usually gets thrown out? The spirituality. Not on purpose, but it does. So I've got to be concerned. Is it wrong to have riches? No. Is it wrong to go on vacation? No. Is it wrong to have a nice house? No. But don't make them a priority. The devil knows, hey, I'll catch you this way. You don't have to be an evil person. All you have to do is be choked out. And then religion's not means that much to you. Now, those are some of the warning signs. You could probably list more. Where are you at on those warning signs? Now, you say, Chuck, it's my life. You ever hear people talk like that? It's my life. What are you worried about? You live your life, I'll live my life. It's my life, right? People are like that. When I hear that disposition among someone who calls himself or herself a Christian, it makes me sad. Because whether you like it or not, your life or my life has an impact on others. Has an impact on others. I think the greatest problem we don't pay attention to is when we become a child of God and we backslide and turn away from God on what we literally have done to Christ. I don't think we think about that. My life. Don't have to tell me what to do, Chuck. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to go this way right now. And when they tell me that, I give them this passage. And that's Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Listen to what it states here. So you don't have to quote me passages, preacher. I already know that. Okay. It says, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice. Okay. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now I want you to stay focused on verse 29 when a Christian turns away from serving Christ. Look at verse 29, please. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy, who has what? Does your Bible say this? Who has trampled the Son of God underfoot. I want to stop there. Get that in your mind. that when I turn away from God and I do things my way, that passage is telling me I have taken the Son of God, the one who died for me, and I've trampled it under my foot. Yeah, that's your life. What are you doing to Christ? You say, well, who's that talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's finish it up. Trample the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. We're not talking about the unbeliever here. We're talking about someone who was sanctified. A common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace. In other words, when I say it's my life, I'm going to do what I want to do. I was a Christian, but don't worry about me. Go somewhere. You have taken the Son of God off the cross, taken him off his throne, and you are trampling him underfoot by your conduct. I don't know about you, but that's pretty serious to me. I don't want to trample my Lord underfoot. So I need to be careful about sin. So the result of turning away, the Lord is disgraced. But that's not all. The result of the child of God turning away, the family of God loses a family member. How sad that is. You know, in a physical family, when you lose a member, isn't that a sad time? And when we lose a member of the family of God, it's a sad time. Now, hopefully, they'll come back and do that which is right. But as long as they're gone, we've lost a family member. You don't take a nonchalant attitude when someone departs from the faith, because God's family has taken a hit. And how sad that is. But that's not it, only. The community loses a spiritual light. If they're no longer serving Christ, his way, they no longer can shine for Christ. Boy, I tell you what, if you are like me, we need as many lights as possible, don't we? To keep things going the right way. We don't need to keep on losing spiritual lights. We need to have more spiritual lights so that we can reach others. This is what happens when someone, whoever that someone is, turns away from the truth. This gets more serious. If children are involved, the family loses an example in the home. If it's a husband or a wife or a sibling, they lost that example. And what's really sad, if it's a sibling, the other sibling sometimes lean towards a sibling who went astray. And you have a snowball effect. I'm not making this up. This is true. You know, people say, well, I fell away. It's no big deal. It's a big deal. You don't want to fall away. It affects you and everything around you. This is how important it is. And then finally, this is the saddest part. If the person does not come back, because as long as you have a breath of life, you can come back and do that which is right. Praise God. But if that person doesn't come back, they lose their soul. You know, the most important thing is your soul, because that's the only thing that's eternal. I know we spend thousands of dollars to take care of ourselves physically, maybe more than thousands. And I know we get caught up in what our legacy is going to be. But the most important thing is not your legacy, or how you look, or where you reached in the corporate ladder. The most important thing you have is your soul. And when you turn away, when you backslide, and you don't come back, which that's not the case because you're here this morning, but if that happens, and if you don't come back, you'll lose your soul. There's not a preacher or series of preachers that can put you into heaven if you turn away from serving the Lord. It's as simple as that. And how sad that is. Because none of this has to be if we just pay attention. The last point in the lesson is yours. How to avoid backsliding? Well, there could be a lot of answers. I'm only going to give you a few, so don't worry. We're not going to be here too much longer. First of all, I got to be aware I can backslide. I got to be aware it can happen to me. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, as I get older, I've preached for over 40 years. So, Chuck, you don't have to worry about backsliding. Sure I do. Sure I do. And 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, what does it tell us here? It tells us very easy, he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he, what, fall. What I keep on telling my brain, Chuck, finish strong. Now's not the time to slow down. Now's the time to keep on keeping on. I need to be aware that backsliding is just not to others that we know of. That backsliding can happen to me. In fact, when I think it can't happen to me, then I'm subject to slipping into that, right? So understand, every one of us in this room need to be aware that it can happen to us if we're not careful. I'm not saying it will happen. I'm not saying it has to happen. I'm saying, can it happen? And the answer is yes, no matter how long you've been in Christ. Number two, to avoid backsliding, be resolved to follow the Lord. Be resolved. Remember in Acts chapter 11? Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 11. I hope and pray everyone who's here and those who are members of the family of God continue to be a family of God as we're entering a new year. In Acts chapter 11, verse 23, as he's seen those who were converted, he states, and when he had come and seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. Notice, with purpose of heart. I had a fellow one time said, when we talk about going to heaven, he said, well, Chuck, don't worry about me. I'll take my chances. I told him, you're not going to get to heaven by chance. I'm not going to get to heaven by chance. I'm going to get there by choice. I've got to purpose of heart to continue with the Lord, regardless of what anybody else does. Now, I want others to continue with the Lord too, but I've got to purpose with heart to continue with the Lord. I've got to stay on that straight and narrow. I've got to learn what God wants me to do. I've got to improve. I've got to repent of those things that overcome me and try to do better. And I've got to continue to do it at my age I am now. You know, it's not just a young person, although it applies to all ages. In fact, like I told you before, I think at each different age level, we've got different problems we have to deal with. I'm dealing with issues today that I didn't deal with 30 years ago. Someone says, well, when you get older, you get more patient. That's not necessarily true. To me, some of the most impatient people are old people. And I've got to be careful I don't become that way. So that's one of the things I have to work on. One of those things maybe you might have to work on. But what I'm trying to say is, you need to be resolved. What does God's word say? And how am I going to do it? Whether it be that, the tongue. Give me one illustration because it happened the other day. The tongue. I'm looking in Publix for pizzas. I don't like frozen pizzas, but nevertheless, it's an easy meal. So I'm looking for a frozen pizza for my wife. And this other lady, who's about 15, maybe 20 years younger than myself, sees me looking back and forth on pizzas. And let's face it, I don't look like Charles Atlas. I look like one of the Weebles. And though I don't know this lady at all, never met her before, she's going to help me choose the pizza. And what does she say? Well, you should get the Lean Cuisine because it's real good. I had to watch my tongue. I really did. Because she was not that thin herself. But I would never tell someone to get Lean Cuisine if it was the best pizza you could eat to someone who's heavy. So I had to watch myself. And all I said to her, well, thank you. That's all. Did I want to say a lot of other things? You better believe it. I wanted to rake her over the coals. What I'm trying to say, when we talk about being resolved to follow the Lord, it's one thing to talk about, it takes all my effort to do it. How about you people? It takes effort to do it, even on those small things. And then finally, as we look, you really want to be faithful to the Lord? Be involved in the work of the Lord. You're busy in the work of the Lord, you're not going to be slipping from the Lord. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. We've got recorded for us here in 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If I'm doing what God wants me to do, I won't have time to do those things that are going to lead me astray. And before we close this morning, there is one section of Scripture that gives us the promise we will not fall. I'm not talking about once saved, always saved. But there's one section of Scripture that gives me a guarantee, gives you a guarantee that you'll never fall. Are you interested to know what passage that is? I hope so. Let's go there. In 2 Peter, we're going to have to go beyond Hebrews because I'm looking at the clock. I'm trying to be consistent with time. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, that's the trouble with charts. See, if you didn't have charts, you wouldn't have known that. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Now, I'm not going to read all 11 verses, but I want us to start from verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness love. Okay, I want to stop. 5, 6, and 7. 5, 6, and 7 are all things I'm supposed to be doing, right? It's going to take me effort to do those things, correct? But now listen, we'll go on. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and hath forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, look at verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Look at the next phrase. For if you do these things, you will never, what? Stumble. If you do these things, that's from verses 5 through verses 7, you will never stumble. That's a good promise, is it not? So what do I need to be doing? I need to be doing those things. Brethren, why are we here? Well, first and foremost, we're here to honor God, because without him, we wouldn't be here. We're here to honor and praise his son who died for us, as was so aptly said in the passages used on the Lord's Supper. But we're here because we're a part of God's kingdom, the church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's the Lord's church. And we're here to glorify God and the Lord's church. And when I put off this body of flesh, I'm promised if I glorify God in his church, his way, I get to go home in heaven. How wonderful is that? That's so comforting to me. I might live another 20 years. Who knows? Don't worry. I didn't say I'd be preaching for you 20 years down the road, but I might live another 20 years. I don't know. But I know if I die today, the blood of Jesus Christ will cover me, because I'm trying to do his will. And I know that if I'm not careful, if I get sloppy, if I get careless, I can depart from the faith. I can backslide. I don't want that to happen. And I don't want that to happen to you. Because Jesus died for us that we could go to heaven and help one another do the same. As we stand and as we sing.